We're back at the races. Little Binky Grip Tight, one of my favorites. Stone Soul Christmas, and one of my favorite trips of the year to Tucson, Arizona. A little bit backwards this year, as mentioned, because usually it's the trip here for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then off to California for Los Al Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This, because of this crazy calendar in the late Thanksgiving, it turned out that Los Al was first, and Symposium about as late as it ever is. And Wendy Davis joins us. Wendy, thanks for having me again, and love coming.
Oh, we love having you here. It's just, it just wouldn't be Symposium without you here broadcasting from the event.
Well, Ed Hammer gave the early introduction about the length, the long life, approaching a half century of symposiums and the program. And of course, there's, so many different components to the industry, and there's so many people that have come through the program over the years that are training and then administration, racing offices, business sides of the game, virtually everywhere, and every year another 6, 8, 10, 12 graduates go out into the industry environs.
Right. We're so proud of our grads. They just go so many different directions. When we get calls about where can you go with this degree, where can you go? And I ask people, how much time do they have? Because there's so many different directions that our students really do want to go. And then they get there. And there's really the only restriction is their imagination of what they want to do.
And one of the unique things, of course, is the
internship program.
Well, that certainly contributes, and the access to all kinds of people in the industry. But I was also going to reintroduce, the element of people that want to reboot their life, and about how many graduates came here in their 20s and even 30s because the industry always had an appeal to them, and they wanted to do something. They didn't necessarily know what, and they basically risked everything. Their family, they needed family support. There's so many people we've talked to that have done it, and to me, it's remarkable from that standpoint.
Well, I'm a perfect example. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. I just knew there was a vehicle like this to do it. So I was sitting in a parking lot at Golden Gate Fields and saw the ad, and it went, I know, I got to get to Tucson.
Yeah.
But I came here, I think, when I was 26, 27. I mean, after cruising around and having fun, too much fun, and decided, you know what? If I can't get this done, I'm in trouble. but anyway, coming here and going through the program, but it's the context that you have right here in town. Like I was telling Steve earlier, and obviously Wendy knows, they're coming here. And so these students have ample time to go up to anybody and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm a student here, and sit down and talk with these people.
Yeah.
And they're here. Most of the people that are here know it's about the students, and they expect to be, tapped on the shoulder. And I don't know of any other industry
bring the industry to the students. And that's really the idea when this program first started. The idea was to have this as service to the industry, but also to bring the industry to the students and get them to know each other before it's time to graduate. And we do that a lot through our guest speakers also. Rick has been a long-term guest speaker here with us, and we are so grateful for the talent that he brought and filled in a huge void for us this semester. And again, can't thank Rick enough for doing that. But we have 12 to 14 professionals from all different areas of the industry come in and teach.
it's not what they want, and they want to go to the business side.
Right.
I don't know if there's as many that go the other direction that come thinking business and are lured into the animal side.
Fewer do that switch.
Right.
There's a lot more that come in. They are dead set. They're going to be trainers. They're going to go in the bloodstock industry. And it's not really that they fall out of love with the bloodstock side. It's just that they had no idea how many other opportunities there were. And so they take some classes and they say, wow, that really sparks my interest. I'd like to try that. And when we talk about internships, we just ask, what do you want to try first? This doesn't mean this is all you're going to do, but just decide I want to try this and this and then something else. And there's time to do it. We have no restrictions.
And that's actually the message, too. I mean, that when I reference some of the people that have come here, Steve May came late. Joe Longo came late in life. He was an accountant. He was bored out of his mind. And now he's heavily involved in the distribution of the signal at Naira, and so he's using his financial background, his accountant training, applying it in a different way. And let me use, you know what, I'll use Joe as a pause, because I don't want to end with it, but I think we have to take a minute. That job, of course, that Joe is doing now at Naira was done for 10, 12 years by Liz Bracken.
Right.
And Liz's passing just really saddened the entire industry, because she was as well-liked as anybody that's ever been in a job that is hard, a hard job, particularly negotiating, et cetera. And it just
really
hit everybody very hard.
It took the wind out of everybody's sails, especially at the racetrack program, because she really was an integral part. And she was, as good as she was doing all that, the simulcasting, she was that and 10 times better as an instructor. She understood the business. She just had a passion for the teaching. The students loved her. And then she also took that extra step. She was always a mentor. She always found out what the student really wanted to do or said they wanted to do, but she could kind of figure out maybe that wasn't the best spot for them. And she could really gently, almost like a parent,
mm-hmm.
sort of direct them to the place that really suited them the best.
And from that standpoint, because of her, of how admired and appreciated she was industry-wide, she had as great a Rolodex and the ability to help place alumni, graduates out into the industry as well. And if Liz called somebody with a candidate, they were quite welcome. And everybody that she reached out to knew that there was thought that had gone into it in terms
right.
of creating the pairing.
Exactly. And she... it just will be impossible to fill those shoes. And one of the things that I think kept Liz going as long as she did was that she truly believed she was going to come back to work, because she did say this was the best job she ever had.
Now, Liz Bracken, who I'm sure the whole symposium this year is presented with her in mind and her memory. You know, you mentioned parents, and I got to ask as part of a question about this symposium's agenda and the topics, because obviously when you sit down, 5 months, 6 months out to, start to formulate the topics, it invariably it's ripped from today's headlines, scenarios throughout the game that everybody is facing, you want to address as part of the presentations. And from that standpoint, with what has been just a tumultuous year from every standpoint, how much concern in conversations with prospective students and with existing students and their parents about the industry at large and the viability of a long-term career when there's so many, you know, damaging and negative, whether it's storylines or media attacks, et cetera. How is that figured into everything, Wendy, that you're dealing with?
Well, it's really interesting. The people who go so far as to contact us, they really seem to have an understanding of the industry and what are the headlines are real, what aren't, what's really going on, what the industry's doing. So we always have the questions, well, what can I do with this degree when I'm done? We have not seen an uptick in the, is this industry going to be around? Can I come here with the expectation of a job once I get my degree? Which I think is a really positive sign, because we do have the folks who are looking to join us understand, and they understand it's a tumultuous time, but they also understand that they want to be a part of the solution, that it's not time to run away. And it's really been uplifting for us, because we do see the people who want to come in and make a positive difference, where I think, you know, a lot of everybody else out there, you only get the negative. It's all the bad stuff. But we still get to see people who want to be there every day, and they call us and they say, I want to come. And even people from within the university are transferring into the racetrack program.
Nice.
Saying, you know what, you guys do so much to educate your students to be a viable part of the industry. We want to be a part of this.
How about that?
I think Wendy hit that right on the head. And, you know, when I decided to come and Wendy called and, you know, I got here and I started to get into it and, you know, really kind of get back into, you know, what I did here. And I had some friends say, well, you know, how can you go teach about horse racing when it's, you know, it's on the front page and it's negative, and these are not horse people, these are just people
right.
to call. And Wendy hit it right on the thing, and I you know, I thought about that as I'm, you know, you're talking to kids that, you know, are listening to you and they want to know what's going on out there. And I turned it in just what you said. I be part of the change. It's just a change in the industry. There's some all kinds of things going on out there. You know, this is an old guard that says no to everything that we want to change. And yeah. You need to take on a new attitude that there's going to be some changes, and jump on that bandwagon.
Right.
Be part of the change. And, you know, I've seen a little light in the, you know, in the eyes of the students. And I think that's kind of the way it's going. And they know, they come here, and they're just so, you know, innocently jumping up and down to get going and get out in there.
Right.
And that's what the industry needs, some young blood, some new life out there. I was going to break off to a little thing, but it has something to do with it. We did a little segment on aftercare in one of our classes that had to come up with a couple subjects that were now. And I told them, I said, you know, 30 years ago when I went into the game, aftercare meant take it over, you know, take care of your parents. That's what aftercare in my mind meant. And I said, look, you're going to need to know more than I did when I got out of school. When somebody comes up to you and asks you about aftercare, horse aftercare, you better know a few things. So we spent some time on that. And I said, I'm going to learn along with you, which I did. And so current stuff, we're learning current stuff here and not just looking back. We're trying to look forward.
Right. Taking today's topics and integrating them right into the classroom today.
Regarding topics, talk about the reaction you got when you reached out for the various participants and some of the moderators and some of the topics that you settled on and the ones that you really feel are going to be closely monitored out in the industry, the ones that, you know, really the dialogues are going to be the most important.
Certainly the safety issues. Absolutely. You know, when we start talking about the safety initiatives, who's going to do what and at what level will those safety regulations come into play? I think that's really important. Obviously, the racing surface has come under scrutiny, and I think that idea, you know, Can we go stick with natural surfaces? Is it time to relook at synthetics? You know, that certainly seems to have been a question that's now coming up more and more. I think one of the most important things is just, and it'll be covered with the TPA Mark Kaufman workshop, and then we also have a workshop after that, is how to get the message across. We know what we're doing in racing, but how do you message it appropriately? How do you manage the media? How do you manage all of the negative? And it's there's skills there that I think so many of the people in racing just need a little refresher to say, this is, you know, this is how the world has to deal with this. Not there'll be some negatives that happen in our sport, but how do you move forward with it? And I think those skills are going to be really important to take home. And that's what we try to do, is give people skills or give them information that, and Rick and I have talked about this, you go to a conference, everybody nods their head and you go home and nothing changes. But our goal is to have everybody leave with something new that they can go and make racing better once they get home, whether it's with the horseman's group or at their racetrack or something in wagering.
It's funny you talk about that message topic, because just yesterday talked to Chuck Simon, a University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program graduate, and you know, Chuck was on that exact message regarding something that the Florida horsemen are going to have to discuss with Stronach Group management, and the seeming missteps that have gone on in terms of responding to a exterior, you know, crisis, as
right.
it were, and you know, trying to placate rather than, you know, steer the conversation in the message and deliver the message that we want to deliver. And Chuck and I had exactly that discussion, and he actually used some recent crises that the NFL dealt with as examples of how to properly handle things versus what he sees as a inappropriate set of responses from, you know, a large entity in the industry, so, and a large portion of the industry. So that's funny that happens, and that just shows, ripped from today's headline.
Absolutely.
Ripped from today. But Winnie brought a point up, you know, year in, year out, we sit in these meetings, we sit in these conferences, great speakers, great ideas, and meet at the bar, head home, and nothing ever happens. And I'm hoping that in the climate that we're in now in the game, that people are looking for some kind of action or ways to do something, that some of the suggestions here and some of the ideas that are talked about at this conference will actually be taken home and pushed a little further along down the line. Because what happens is you go home and you forget about it, you just worry about yourself. But we're at a time in this industry now where we need new ideas, and we need to push them. And I'm going to be involved in a panel. It's entitled Listening to the Racing Customer, that's going to have some things to do with horse players and what horse players, you know, what they might need or might want. And I'll tell you what, when we walk out of there, if there's three or four ideas, you can be darn right, I'm going to try and push these things through, because I'm just tired of sitting here and go, wow, that's a great idea. And then the next year, oh boy, what a great idea. And nothing ever gets done. There's no accountability. And I think we need to get a little bit more accountability in this game. And I think you're going to see it, because it's put up or shut up time.
It is. I think this is a real, this is a big time in racing. There's a lot of things that are changing now and that have to change. And I have every confidence that it will. But I think when we talk about topics next year, I think we will see a much different racing industry when we start building topics for 2020.
Well, Wendy, I know you've got a group meeting as things start to assemble and get ready to start to welcome everybody in tonight with a reception, and then tomorrow we'll talk with so many different participants, and looking forward to it. Thanks so much for what RTIP represents, for what you and everybody that's been dedicated to it from day one. Doug Reed for his long tenure. Well, I'm sure we'll see Doug.
Doug will be
tonight.
Here.
He's always here, and in his consulting business now. So many different people come together over these next 3 days, and it's always worthwhile. And most importantly, we'll hear from some of the students the next couple of days, and that's the most fun, and when you see their excitement and how prepared they are to start their careers in the game.
Well, I can honestly say, coming back 30 years and seeing the program go up and down, but as an insider, I can say everything's rolling along just fine. Wendy and her team have kept the spirit alive, and the only way you can judge that is by the kids. And the students that I've worked with are, just enthusiastic and can't wait to come here, be here, see the people, and more importantly, can't wait to get out and get going.
Right.
And then,
right.
And that's what you see. And I get it. I see where my mom was a teacher for 25, 30 years, and my father as well. So I get that look on the kid's face. I go, okay, now I see that why they went back next year and again and again. So congratulations to Wendy and your team for keeping this scene going, because there's a lot of people out there, us old students, looking in going, still rolling there. I always give them the thumbs up. Now I said, oh, I can tell you from the inside, it's good. So we'll use this as a little bit of an advertisement. Anybody out there listening that is thinking about getting into the industry, doesn't know how to get into the industry, doesn't have a family member in the industry, take a trip to Tucson, check it out. Not only is it a beautiful place, great school, but to sit around and hang out and talk horse racing for 4, 5, or if you're in the 6-year program, there's nothing wrong with that either. Anyway, when you leave here, you'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, people walk in the door of our office, which has, first of all, has horse racing on TV. Whenever the door is open, there's horse racing on. Every image on every wall is horse racing. And they walk in, and they kind of take a deep breath, and they let it out slowly and say, I feel at home. Now I can talk about what I love.
Yeah. You're among more than friends. You're among people who have the same avocation and interest. And that's one of the things about higher education that is what it's meant to be, an opportunity for people to explore and find an area that they want to dedicate themselves to. And this is the most unique industry and the most unique opportunity from an education standpoint. Wendy, thanks so much.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for being here, moderating some panels for us. It's going to be a great week.
No doubt about it. Kicks us off and gets us rolling. Wendy Davis, the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program, UARTIP. Let's take a break, a little past the bottom of the hour, and when we come back, Johnny D, he got his degree at Occidental. It may have been an accident at Occident, but he really got his master's, of course, at Santa Anita in Hollywood Park. Johnny D joins us next. The head also, Dr. Mary Scalay, the RMTC, and the last day of the fundraising halter auction. They've got a fabulous, we do this every year, they've got it's holiday season, you want a unique gift. How about a halter of any number of great racehorse stars? Maybe your favorite, a friend's favorite, a relative's favorite, etc. And we'll catch up with Dr. Scalay and with Bob Baffert as well. Back after this, Johnny D.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you might even say it glows. And all of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. But then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa he came to say, Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
We're back at the races, 15 to the top of hour three. Fast-moving morning, not surprisingly, with conversations earlier with Brittany Trimble-Russell and Jerry O'Dwyer. Winners, of course, over the weekend with two of the best two-year-old performances. And now Wendy Davis, Johnny D about to join us. And as he does, we go to Pennsylvania. You heard that new commercial for Pennsylvania breeding. And on Saturday at Parks, in that Pennsylvania nursery, Erin McClellan sends out the well-spelled gelding hockey puck. And no, Don Rickles did not ride. He might have bet on hockey puck, but hockey puck with Ty Connor. And at a fat 13 and change to one, paid $29.40, upsetting the favorites. News to me, of course, came back for the Trombettas and could do no better than third in here, beating a couple. Golden Candy was second in there for Anthony Pecoraro. But Wagon Wheel Farm, with their homebred by well-spelled out of a Cat's Career mare, a big win for them, the Pennsylvania Nursery. Thought I'd get that in with that opportunity, since we're talking to Johnny, who should be here. You used to come to this a lot of times.
Where is he? We have the chair right here.
Johnny D.
Guys, it's great to hear from you. I was planning to come this year, but and a little, you know, little health
That's
issues
right.
in between, yeah. so I couldn't quite make it. Didn't know if I'd be ready, and couldn't make it out there. But I've been there many times. You guys reminiscing, I remember back in 2004, Trudy McCaffrey, a racehorse owner, and the founder of Kids to the Cup, received the Clay Puitt Award there, which is one of the major awards that they give out along with the Jack Goodman Award. And that was one of Trudy's proudest moments. She's in with a very well respected group of award winners with that Arizona trophy that one of two they give out every year. And then a Distinguished Student Award from 2005. I don't know what your graduating class was, Hammer, but Eric Yee, 2005, he came to work at ExpressBet. Got to know Eric a little bit, and he was a fine young man. And then also, through Kids to the Cup, we had a group of girls that had met each other through Kids to the Cup, teenage girls, around the 13, 14 age period, and then they moved into college age, and they all decided to go to the U of A racetrack industry program together, and they roomed together. I think it was a group of four or five of them that roomed together, and they all graduated, and I think all of them are still in the racing industry, many of them on the NYRA circuit. Or at one time, all of them, I think, most of them were on the NYRA circuit. So, you know, you talked about the graduates and of course, big names like Baffert, Pletcher, Hammer, you know, all the heavyweights. and then you've got not so well-known people who you've dealt with if you've gone to NYRA races. You've dealt with some of these young ladies. And they all came out of the Arizona program. So, yes, it's a way into the industry. And I had to chuckle when you were just speaking with Wendy about Hammer, when you were talking about people who approach you now and they say, well, you know, racetrack industry program, why are kids getting involved in this? And the industry's dying and blah, 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 blah. Well, back when I was with Kids of the Cup, when I was the executive director of Kids of the Cup, I had people approach me with that very question, particularly one person who was adamant, like, came to me and said, hey, you know the score. You know what this game's like. How can you want to get these kids involved in racing? I said, it's easy. Someday, one of these kids is going to fix our problems. Or at least some of them. And that's what I believe then and what I believe now. You know, the future, we can overcome anything. Man has certainly shown that he can overcome anything, and women too. I mean, man as a mankind. We can overcome anything. We just have to get to work and do it. And
Johnny, you hit that right. I got to tell you know, I'm pretty positive about the industry as in general. Well, I'm in it, so I have to be positive. I don't have to, but I see good in a lot of things. I've been traveling the country. And when I came here at the beginning of October, it was fine. But 2 months later, in the beginning of December, I feel a lot better about the industry, and it's just because of what you said. I'm looking down at these younger kids with, you know, their eyes are, you know, semi-innocent, their eyes are up wide open, and they're looking to go out. They want to make a change. And I'm like, wow, this is great. And like you said, one of these kids that's graduating this year or next year or the year after, that might be the one that gets the thing done. So it's good to see a new generation keep coming in. It's not the same old fuddy-duds here, you know, going down the same road hoping for a different result. But
besides visiting with
the present company accepted, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. We seem to get stuck in the same old rut. So it's all good as far as that goes. But I wish you were here and all that stuff. Can we talk a little football for just a second? Can we go to football real good? Now, see, I get to I get to shoot my mouth off a little bit because your guys' team doesn't play until tonight, so I'm already ahead of you. With the Steelers now, I'm kind of bittersweet a little bit. I'm glad they're 8-5, but now what's going to happen is, you know, I'm not a big fan of the the coach. He's going to win Coach of the Year this year, and I got him for another 10 years. But who would have thought the Steelers would have been 8-5 right now? I think they won 7 out of their last 8 games heading into Buffalo next week. And I'll tell you what, Dallas has laid – you got the yellow brick road here. So I'm just hoping you take advantage of it. I want to see the Eagles in the playoffs and not that silver star there.
Well, it's funny you should ask. I would love to see the Eagles in the playoffs too, but I'm afraid that Dolphins loss really last week really took a chunk out of the green in this house, other than the Christmas green. But the Eagle green took a big hit last week. This morning, excuse me. Now, my wife and I watched the games together. When the Eagles score a touchdown all season long, we sing Eagles fight song, and she does this little dance, you know, spells out the letters, E-A-G-L-E-S. You know, we celebrate the team's touchdown. And that's how, you know, how big of fans we are. So this morning, she came downstairs to see me, and she said, I said, honey, the Eagles are on tonight. She said, who cares?
Oh.
Very bad. Very.
Wow. That's.
Well,
yeah, you'll get fired up. We got Eli Manning coming off the bench, who probably thought he never was going to play. And I don't think he's been hitting the weight room too hard the last couple months, so he should be able to jump all over that.
Well, you would think so, but, you know, those old pros, when they get to sit down for a little while and collect their thoughts, sometimes they come out fiery. You got to watch out for those wily old guys. They're tricky. I'll tell you one thing, Hammer. It was so great to hear you back at the industry program. It was kind of this is Welcome Back Hammer. It's kind of a West Coast version of West Welcome Back Cotter.
Oh!
and the Saguaro.
Saguaro.
Saguaro. Talked about. I'm very familiar with those. While I've never cut one down, I've drilled many with golf balls.
And I'm sure the birds thank you because they live in those holes that you provided.
Is that what those holes are? That's what? Who
absolutely.
Holes? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep,
because
yep,
I saw so much. I was trying to figure out many times when I was on the golf course there looking at these trees or cactus. And trying to figure out, how did that guy hit the ball there and make that hole? The tee's over there. How did he get around this side and make that hole? The birds did it. Okay.
The birds did it.
You know, this morning has been a morning full of foreign accents because you had Jerry O'Dwyer on with his Baltimore accent, and now you've got Johnny O'D on with his South Philly accent.
Well, Johnny, a couple of things. I got to dive in and to talk about the weekend and some of the results. I was kind of saving some things for you, including the Empire Six sequence. Did you take a swing?
Yeah, swing and a miss. I was out early. I used the winner, but what was it, paid like $21. First of all, I was at a wedding Saturday. One of my good friend's daughters got married, and so I didn't get to take it in live. So Will was also at the wedding, my good buddy, and we were watching the Cigar Mile on Will's phone in between church and the reception. I said, let me have that phone. And then I flipped through and I looked at the results. I go into the first race. Oh, I started with, the Cigar Mile was the last race. Obviously, I had maximum security. I flipped back, got that one. Don't have that one. I missed the first leg.
Yeah.
Had the rest of them.
Well, and it was it's funny. I actually missed both of the Mots, and it's funny. I wouldn't have minded. I mean, had I put in a bigger, I didn't put a big ticket in, but I thought that that Moon Over Miami was basically the fifth or sixth horse was yeah. to me was a C, which is fine. The horse that I wouldn't have liked had you given me a free square and said you need to use the $20, you know, here's a $20 winner in the opening leg, I still would not have had Lake Avenue, because that race was not supposed to be run like that. I mean, that was an embarrassing. I know that we, you know, you hear this a lot from Andy and from all kinds of people. Nick Tamaro talks about it, and Grenig, the snatch and grab for that horse to be allowed to get away with those opening quarters. It was obvious on the back stretch she wasn't losing, and I was shaking my head, because it also cost me the pick five. I was kind of nauseous. I mean, you thought to yourself when you looked at the PPs, all right, this Lake Avenue's nice, but she can't win. There's going to be too much pace. And then there's no pace.
Yeah, they'll do that to you, especially in New York. That won't
it's crazy.
So much that won't happen so much in California, right, Hammer?
You're right about that.
There's always pace out there. Yeah. The only thing I thought, I actually had a decent opinion, only because you don't know. I felt like this is one I don't know. This one might be okay, not so much style-wise, but because I don't know how much ability. This guy, this filly got beat first time out, second beaten only a length. I thought that's okay. That's a good first out. And then you come back and win by 12 in a four-horse field. Okay, I don't know what to do with that exactly. It's a nice score. It's a good buyer. It's a fast enough race. So I just didn't know. And sometimes with those ones that you just don't know are a little better than the ones that you kind of, yeah, I've seen these two. I thought Medean, the 2, and the 5, Alondra, were interesting. But when I looked at them, I thought, you know what? I don't really know what this Lake Avenue is. So that's how that one made it on the ticket. That was my, you know, view of it. I didn't get as caught up in the pace. Yeah, sometimes with these young horses, they've only run a couple times. You got a few of them stretching out. Most of them, in fact, maybe all of them, were trying a mile and an eighth for the first time.
Of course.
Paces of, you know, you got jocks thinking, well, I'm going to save something because it's a mile and an eighth. Things get funny. Anyway, I understand. That's what makes this game so great. There's so many ways to look at a race. And you and I have discussed before, Hammer, I'd like to hear if you agree with this or disagree. When you look at a pick five or a pick six, a pick four also, but the more races you get, further away you get, five or six, whatever your handicap and style is, if you're basic, if you like to do pace, if you like to do class, if you like to do speed, if you rely on cheats, whatever your favorite angle is, and you lean in that direction, the problem is that doesn't work all the time. We know that. It doesn't work all the time. Whatever you do doesn't work all the time. So when you get to five or six races, if you're a pace guy, it may work for four of them, but not all five. If you're a buyer guy, it might work for five of them, but not all six. You know, it always seems like there's one race, and you've kind of got to use a little bit of everything. And if you're one of those guys, which I guess I fancy myself as trying to be that kind of guy that kind of mixes everything together, you know what? You're still only going to get five if you need six, and four if you need five.
You know, you're 100% right. I think a lot of that comes down to, I'll tell you what it is how much time you've prepared for the bet. Because if you have time, you're allowed to take each race in its own entity and handicap that race and then move on and handicap that other race. But if you're pushed and you have to make some decisions quicker, you're going to do just what you said. You're going to take your strengths and apply the same type of theory to every race because you're in a hurry, and it's that one race that you said, oh, darn, of course there wasn't going to, you know, of course there were going to come from off the pace on this race.
Right.
And so that's what I see. I mean, if sometimes, you know, what is it, think long, think wrong, that type of stuff. You know what? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm if I have enough time, you know, the night before type of deal or that morning to do that, I think I have a much better winning percentage, batting average. Not winning percentage, but batting average when I have the time and I at least have my ideas than when I sit down, oh, pick five starts at 12 minutes. Okay, let's go. And once in a while you get lucky and you go, oh, look at that. I didn't need to study. But I think it breaks it down to that. But you can fall into those habits. The longer the sequence, the more you tend to use your strengths and you hit it right on the head. Every race, you're not going to hit every race.
Great point. And we haven't even mentioned ticket construction, which is where, if you're serious about the game, you should spend quite a bit of time, maybe more time than handicapping, or at least, you know, a good portion of that time should be spent on ticket construction. Because how many, you know, how important is that? That's vital.
Super important. Where to spread? Well, that comes with the time you have. You know what? This is a spread race. I'll do that one later. Let me go to the races I'm going to, you know, single in or at most have two in. And then, of course, it's, you know, the dollar amount. And depending on the day and the possible payoff and the situation, how much you're going to spend. I mean, there's sometimes, and I probably do the same thing, where it's like, I'm going to hit this bet. You know, if I have to spend double what I normally do, I'm going for it. I'm not going to leave that horse out and narrow this one down to two because I only have X amount of dollars. And then there's the times where, you know, I just want to be involved. So I'll put in a $48 ticket just to say I'm in there,
an action
ticket. Yep. So all that stuff comes down. And if you're able to combine all the good elements of that, you're going to hit more than you can. But obviously, you know, we don't have all the time and the money to do that.
See, while we're on this topic, I've done a bit of research on these. I don't know where else you were going to go with me, but while we're on this topic, some of these tickets that were hit at ExpressBet this week kind of illustrate the point we're talking about. You know, we had some plays this week that were what I call, you know, muscle plays. In other words, you know, Hammer, they're tickets that, pick five ticket. This goes back to Sunday at Del Mar, the last day of the meet, 12-1. You look at this pick five ticket. It's a $900 ticket. Okay, so you're kind of muscling the pick five. It's the early pick five. This ticket went 4 by 2. By 9, by 5, by 5. So you had 4 of the 11, you got a 660 winner. You had 2 of the 5, you got a $12 winner. You had 9 of the 13, you got a 3320 winner. You had all of the 5, and you got lucky and got a 2620 winner. And then 5 of the 10 with a 2420 winner. That was Oscar Dominguez to round things out. So that $900 ticket paid $31,000. So that's what I call muscling, muscle plays. And then we had a couple of, you know, plays that are at the other end of the spectrum, which I love to see. And Steve and I have talked. I do this. I kind of started doing this each week. But here's a ticket, a $48. And as much as Steve hates the Rainbow Six, there are a couple people here that love the Rainbow Six today. This is a $48 ticket at Gulfstream Park yesterday. A single in a race that they got an 840 winner at a 12-horse field. Single the next race, got a 210 winner in a 5-horse field. Used 3 of 8 in the next race, got an $11 winner. 2 of 9 for a 520 winner. Used all and got a $67 winner. And then used 5 of 11 and got a $92.80 winner. And that's a $48 ticket. And you know, that illustrates the power of the single and spreading in the correct spots. Hammer, you just mentioned that. Where am I going to spread? Look at the races. Where are you lost? And if you're lost, and you know, the old theory is, if you've got to use five or six, you need them all. And, you know, so here's a ticket where it's $48 and it pays $11,000.
Well, those two tickets that you mentioned, the $48 ticket, you said they went all, they got the big number. The prior ticket, it was $900. Right. But they got, you said, and then one, they had 9 of 11, they got a big number, and then the all, they got a big number. So they picked right.
Yes.
As far as where to spread. And that is, like you said, that is the key. Where am I going light? Where am I going heavy? And when you, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, there's sometimes when I'm making out a ticket, and even a smaller ticket, that at a 10-horse field, I'll pick 5 and go, yeah, I'm not happy, and I'll just turn around and take the 5 that I didn't like. Seriously, it takes a little. People are like, you're nuts. I go, look, I am not comfortable with the 5 that I have. I will even, you know, and I'll just turn them around. I bet I'd go with the other 5. And many times.
That's pretty funny.
Many times it comes in. It's the reverse deal. Oh, yeah. It's the reverse deal. You know, there's times when you know your third leg comes up and you check your ticket. Who do I got? And you go, I'm not going to win. I don't know. I don't know who's gonna beat me, but these 4 horses are not gonna win, and so I've taken that to the extreme, and I'll just go the other way on a smaller ticket sometimes. But if you can't figure out, if you're not happy with 5 in a 10-horse field, guess what? Hit the button, and that's your favorite. I've hit more bigger bets
over the years. When we talk about Breeders' Cup and about Triple Crown weekends, invariably, your biggest scores are when that's happening.
It's all button. Yeah. Give me the all button.
Yep.
And
yep.
If you could pick the right race in those days, and those are the days, obviously, I'm spending a lot more than I am on a Thursday at Laurel. But no matter what, you got to pick the right race to hit the button. That's my favorite button.
I love that theory of reversing on yourself. I love that. There were two other winning tickets on the Rainbow Six that I just talked about. And in the example I just gave, the $48 ticket, was the power of the single. These other two are not unreasonable tickets. See, that's what the 20 cents does for you, the 20 cent increment in the Rainbow Six. One of these tickets, 5 by 2 by 3 by 1 by 4 by 4, that's pretty good coverage. That's $86.40. The other one, also $86.40, 3 by 1 by 3 by 3 by 4 by 4. So again, well-constructed tickets, both $86.40, both return almost $12,000. So what a great way to play. However, the one that takes the cake this week that I absolutely love came at Mountaineer Park. Guys, and you know, people say, oh, Mountaineer, I'm not playing there, or small tracks, you can't make any money. Well, this particular person found a way to make money at Mountaineer Park. It was in the ninth race on December 3rd. First was Sunday, second to Monday, third was that Tuesday, maybe? Yeah, I think Tuesday. At Mountaineer, the ninth race at Mountaineer, a 20 cent super. He went 5, 7, 8, 10. I assume he boxed them in the super. A ticket cost $4.80, and he got about $194.80 winner, $194.80 on top. Coyote Quick Step. The $1 super paid $56,000. He only had it for 20 cents, and he had $11,208.
Well, how much? But there's no way that he must have scooped the pool.
There's no way there was $56,000 unless it was a 2 month carryover.
Did he scoop the pool?
I don't know.
Because what tracks will do, Johnny, which really upsets me.
I've talked about this a million times.
They put the high number there.
So stupid.
When somebody hit it for a nickel, they put the $2 price, so it makes it sound like, go back and look at the pool for that race.
Right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, 11,208. It's not. Not bad for 480.
No.
I'd like
not,
to see somebody get that bet in football.
No, you know what? You mentioned the smaller tracks. Well, since I've been
that's
here for a couple.
By the way, that's $4.80, not $480.
No, I get
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Since I've been here for a couple months, now at nighttime sometimes, because I need to prep for the next day, I've been playing a little bit of Remington, and I was playing Indiana Downs a little bit here. Like I said, for school purposes only. And I got to know that pretty good. Was getting, and I, you know what? Let me tell you, it's not bad. Some of the payoffs are very fair.
Here, I'll tell you what. What's amazing about that ticket, Johnny, not only was there the 96-1 winner, which was sent out by Bill Hackney. Hackney actually owns and trains a two-step salsa gelding, Coyote Quick Step. There was a 40-1 shot that was fourth, Cowboy Harvest. So yeah, and
about,
the third.
How about the super high five? All in the last leg.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that happens a lot. But what's interesting about this is he was not the only person that hit, because the pool was the superfecta. The pool was 40,400.
Yeah.
So take out probably
25%.
25%. So that takes you to 30,000. So it looks like probably three people hit that for 11 grand.
Beautiful.
How about that?
That's a good hit.
Yeah. We look at these, and I like to bring them up. And I don't know, Steve, you can tell me to stop whenever you're ready.
No, wait
but
a minute.
I think people enjoy hearing these kinds of results.
It was more than that.
You're 100%. When we worked at racetracks, and we found out that you know, when the pick six was the real pick six, and every day you could win some money, we put it in the program, and let's put the size of the ticket so it encouraged people to say, wow, you know, we could get a couple buddies together, put in a $108 ticket, and have a shot. Yeah, a lot of them are hit by big tickets, but a lot of them aren't too, and that's the that's one of the, you know, the philosophy is about good, bad, 20 cent, not 20 cent. The good thing was in California, every day of the week, you could go to the track and you could maybe walk out of there with 20 or 30,000 if you hit the pick
right.
six.
Johnny,
and
right.
that, those days are gone.
Johnny, how much did he, read back again, how much did he return?
11,208 he got back. So there may be taxes taken out of that. That's why it may be. Because on a 20 cent wager, if you get back that, it might trigger the.
Well, it's three. What is it? 3,000 to 1 now, or whatever.
Well,
the number is.
Well, because basically for every 10 cents, it was 50. It brought back 5,600 for every 10 cents. That was the return, because they quoted a $1 superfecta
right.
at 56,000, but the
right.
pool was 30,000. So there were a total of six. There were basically six tickets or six 10-cent bets that hit.
Right.
Six increments, depending on. And you said he had it for 20 cents?
He had it for 20 cents, yeah.
So he had it. Okay, so there you go. So there's right there is 11,000, and there was still another. There were another four 10-cent winners that somehow, you know, keyed off this Coyote Quick Step.
And by the way, I am not sexist. I said he. It could have been a she.
That's right. Could have been they, husband and wife.
Now, as a teacher, you're not allowed to be gender specific. So,
yeah. Well, also, you know, these are all tickets that were purchased through ExpressBet, and obviously, you know, unlike other countries where players who win almost always are willing to step forward and brag about their winnings, in the United States, maybe it's an IRS thing, maybe it's maybe our friends and family are more lecherous in the U.S. I don't know, but individuals are not as willing to come forward and be identified, even though they make a big score. And so, just talking about these tickets, though, I think it's
constructive. Absolutely,
it's encouraging. Even when you look at the big tickets, the tickets that, I give you an example here. Our highest return on investment ticket that I see was a 200 return on investment, 240,140% was a ticket sold to one of our bigger players. When I give you the ticket, you'll see that a $1 a pick five, $14 pick five, 46374, a $14 pick five. He had to pick five, 50 cent pick five, 28 times, paid $1,321. So he got back $33,620. $14 pick five. Now that, I don't know a lot of people that play that way, but they're out there. They're out. And like I said, this is a bigger player. So the winners of the races paid $540, $560, $840, $1,560, and $640. So, now maybe that Steve and I often talk, Hammer, about these tickets as sometimes they may be part of a larger wager or
right sequence of wagers.
Right.
Yeah.
They might have 10 tickets, and that's the one that hit. Right.
Certainly a possibility as we read through these, and there's no way I can really tell on the information I'm given here. But this one, give me a $14 pick five and just bang it right out of the park.
Piece of cake, right?
The ticket only cost $14 and he got back $33,000.
However he had it, I don't put in multiple tickets rarely. I mean, I rarely have one ticket and, maybe I'll throw in another one if I thought I left a horse out. But so I'm looking at this Mountaineer card. Now you got me intrigued because I thought that 40,000 number was pretty big for a track like that. And, now they had some pools that night where the superfecta was under 10,000, but they also had the first race of the day had 35, and there's another one in the middle of the day that had 30. I'm really shocked. And then the last race, the pool you're talking about, the superfecta pool was 40,000. That's a healthy number for a track like that. So a very popular bet because some of the other the exactas don't pay off as handsomely because of the smaller denomination, but that superfecta, and this is what bothers me and what Steve just said, pool 40,000, payoff 56,000. So, obviously.
It's a huge mistake. And I've discussed this a million times, and it started, in fact, with Tina as a mutual clerk. And knowing the experience that she was having, it was really the first time it ever really occurred to me, maybe 15 years ago. And especially at the seasonal meets, where you've got some casual people or people that are at the racetrack for the first time, you never want somebody going up to the window, having seen a number on the tote board that they think they're going to get, and then they go up and they get a quarter of it. And they're like, but it says $48. Why am I getting 12? Oh, because the industry is making as bad a decision on this as is humanly possible.
Well,
sending somebody who cashed a ticket home mad. You can't be any dumber.
Well, this goes back 15 years about this. I wrote a paper on this thing when I went to school here, where why doesn't every track have the same thing? I'm looking now back at Mountaineer. Now you got me fired. I'm back at Mountaineer. Same race. They show the price for a $2 pick three, a $2 pick four, and a $2 pick five. Name me one person in this world that has bet a $2 pick three anymore. Right? It's 50 cents. So they're trying to show, what they're trying to do is show big numbers here. Oh my gosh, look at it, blah, 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 boom.
Exactly.
Look what it paid. But, and on the monitor, they'll sometimes, like, that's what Steve says, sometimes if they'll trick you. I want the. They should have to show the lowest denomination price.
Whatever the minimum wager is.
That's what you show.
That's what you display.
Naira will do this sometimes on the pick threes, and you're going, oh man, so this is great. I got 10 grand, and you go to the window, you know, you made a nice score, but it's 2,500. Say, so, whoa. How many times do you have it?
Johnny, to be honest, ExpressBet, I mean, I know just from habit and practice, but when I look at Will Pays, they're reported in $2 on the site.
Yeah.
Instead of 50 cents.
I think a lot of it comes from what the tote companies do. A lot of it is the way they report things, which makes me think that the $1 super is, well, we've got to report a $1 super, so we publish it. Even though it's ridiculous, we put it out. This is a $1 super.
I understand.
You can do the both. In New York, there's plenty of venues that do this. They have the $1 super price, and then they've got the 10 cent right under it.
Yeah. This is just another page in that book where we're not on the same page. I mean, everybody's on a different page. Illinois does this. New York does that.
Yeah, exactly. I got two observations from this part of the discussion. Number one, I love that Steve blamed Tina for this. That's always a good way to start. number two, well, you guys are in Arizona. Fix this, will you?
It's got to get fixed. We are fixing it.
Crims is sitting. Crims is going
to
be right here.
Go to the bar.
They could maybe help.
Talk to the fuddy duddies at the bar and get this fixed, will you?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's almost like all these denominations we've lowered down to the minimum, but we're afraid to show the payoff for the minimum, the result of the lowering for the minimum. So I don't get it.
Yeah, and meanwhile, as I just pointed out, showing the minimum of 20 cents for a payoff of 11,208, that gets my juices flowing. Because I'm liable to box four horses in a superfecta for 20 cents, spending about 480 and getting back 11 grand. That's awesome. So show the minimum. Don't be embarrassed by the minimum.
There's nothing wrong with the minimum.
Now, sometimes when it pays $4.80 for 20 cents, you might think, well, that's, you know. But whoever's betting the 20 cents, they get the game. They understand. I mean, it's, you know, that the prices reflect. When you get a 194-80 winner, you're going to get more money.
Exactly. Johnny, I appreciate it. There's plenty more, but I got to get to Dr. Scalay, and I got to get to Bob Baffert yet. And
Bob Baffert, Azul Coast, that victory was so impressive to me. Wide is a maiden victory. Wide in the slop. Looked like it was going nowhere. Drayton Van Dyke, what a patient rider, and this one striding out at the end like he wanted to go around again. Man, I was really impressed with that performance. It's the kind you don't really notice, but man, he looked good.
75 buyer for that, by the way.
That's a little slow, but that's okay. First time out, going around the ground in the slop. Four wide the whole way? Five wide?
Yeah. Well, how about on Saturday, that Ra'ad? The fifth of the five wins, came back moderate, 70-something, I think, 77 or 5 as well. But that horse didn't know what it was doing. And all of a sudden, when it had the long straight, all of a sudden it inhaled that poor poor Bondi. I met the owner. that horse has run into one buzzsaw after another. And, Johnny, you're running into a buzzsaw. Talk next week.
All right. Matches secure. We got bad news for you guys. The leader in the clubhouse just shot a double legal hole-in-one.
Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D. A couple of appearances left in 2019 for Johnny. Back after this, Dr. Mary Scalay, RMTC, the halter auction ends today. So get ready to bid and get ready to win yourself a halter. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home at the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve BYK on Sirius XM Radio.
Have a sunny Christmas. Gather everyone you know. Have a sunny Christmas. Take it everywhere you go.
Well, you can make